Hello and welcome back to the Footy Fix podcast. Yet another exciting weekend and an exciting upcoming week as we are on the international break. Feels like we say that all the time. On today's episode, we have special guest Francesco Iantorno, also known as Frank the Tank. Frankie, how you doing today, man?
I'm all right. It's a stressful time for an Italian soccer fan, but I'm coping. I'm coping, trying to keep my stress in check.
It's a different time, isn't it? It's a different time for Italian and Portuguese soccer fans. There's no reason that we should be in the position that we are in, but that's just the card we got dealt, isn't it?
I have a feeling we're going to get into this in a little bit, so I'll refrain from commenting on it right now.
Please, please do. So we start off every episode with a set of questions. I'm going to direct mine. Let's direct both of ours, Baz, right to Frankie. Let's initiate him right away. So Frankie, these are nostalgic questions. These are questions from the past. And I'm going to ask you to dive deep into an Italian rivalry.
Okay.
I want you to tell me, who would you rather play for? 2007 Milan or 2014 Juventus with Pogba, Pirlo, Vidal, Marchisio, all those legends?
Okay, this is a great question. And I know the easy answer, being a big Juventus fan, is to just say, oh, 2014 Juventus. To keep things interesting, I will say that those mid to early 2000s Milan teams were absolutely insane. And they had some all-time legends. And at the time, it really felt like that 2014 Juve team had guys like Pogba, and Pogba was just going to be the next superstar. I don't know. Seeing him on United now, I don't know if he's the kind of guy that I'd want to play with. But we're talking about, like, come on. Because Pirlo was also on – was Pirlo on the 2007 team?
Pirlo does feature on both teams. But yeah. On Milan, you got guys like
– you got Seedorf as well.
Seedorf, Zambrotta, you got Inzaghi.
Shevchenko.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Yeah, you do have Shevchenko.
Yeah. Yeah, you got a bunch of either way, both team has legends. So it's you can pick whoever you want.
Look, I
know who I'm picking.
I feel like you got to take 07 Milan. I got to agree with Frankie here.
Hundos.
I feel like it's the obvious choice. However, if I was a player, I could never pass up wearing that black and white.
100%. And Baz, would you do the same thing?
Yeah, I do the same thing. And if we're being honest, being a player, it'd probably be a little bit easier to crack into the 2014 Juve squad. So
yeah, you know what? That's an excellent point. A little
added incentive there.
I don't think either of us is going to start over Kaká, to be honest.
Yeah, honestly. Did they have Ronaldinho still at that point?
No, Ronaldinho was on Barcelona at that point. So okay, he went later on. Yeah. So Baz, you got a question up for Frank?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Let's hear it. Frank the Tank, my question is, it's also related to Italy, but it's related more to the national team because we're talking about national moments. What has been your favorite Italian national team moment, or what's the biggest one that stuck with you?
Okay, so once again, 2006, I was a bit young for. I don't quite have the memories for that, so I'm not going to say 2006. But I am going to say an iconic moment and a moment that I was really hoping that we'd be able to see recreated. However, with the recent roster, it's clear that we're not going to see that. But I believe it was the semifinals against Germany.
Yep.
A man by the name of Mario Balotelli scored an absolute screamer and proceeded to do the most tank thing. This man single-handedly shaped my personality in that one moment. He removed his shirt and just stood there flexing. I've recreated that every morning and before every party in my entire life. That was one of the most influential moments of my entire life.
Amazing. Love to hear that. Goodness. I'd love to hear that.
What a moment. That's an
incredible
good moment.
I
thought you were going to go with like the Euro win this past year, but that was a sleeper pick, and that's a good pick, man.
Some great moments out of the Euros. Chiesa against Austria,
sure.
Like some great moments, but
in terms of hype, like you were hyped to see this, like nothing really beats that Balotelli moment against Germany, especially
that put us up 2-1 in the game as well.
Yeah,
and that's past Neuer too, and that's like basically prime Neuer at that time too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's prime Germany.
Balotelli could have been so much, man.
Yeah, I know. I think he released a quote that he said he would be on Ronaldo and Messi's level, and I don't really agree with that, but he would have been like a Lewandowski type level, like a Suarez type level, if he just had his head on straight.
Yeah, he would have been banging goals in left and right.
Yeah. So speaking on the international stage, gentlemen, as I stated before, Portugal and Italy are in a very, very tough spot right now. Neither of them topped their groups in the World Cup qualifiers and were forced to go and compete in the playoffs for the final three spots. Now, by some weird dark magic of a draw, they got put into the same bracket. Now, that's a completely different conversation. I don't know how FIFA put two top 10 footballing nations in the same bracket, and then you have the likes of Poland and Ukraine and whoever and the other ones. But that is what it is. And this coming Thursday, we play our first playoff game. Italy faces North Macedonia, and Portugal faces off against Turkey. So since the Tank's here, since he is Italian, and there's a lot more Italian in this room than there is Portuguese, let's start off. Frank, I know it's just North Macedonia, and I know this is a small nation. I know that we should be very optimistic about this result, but anything can happen in these one-off games. I think you'd be lying if you said you were comfortable right now.
I am incredibly uncomfortable because, what was it, 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, I don't know, because of COVID, it was, oh, it's just Sweden. We have two games to beat Sweden. And then a few months ago, it was, oh, it's just Ireland. We can beat Ireland. And it's this concept of continually underestimating teams. And I think it's pretty clear in the Euros, Italy handled Belgium better than they handled Austria. It's very weird to see how they play down to a team's level, and I'm very worried about that. You know, I believe that Mancini is a great coach. I believe that he'll have his players' heads on right. However, I do think it's a problem with the national team, and, you know, these guys from North Macedonia, they see everyone's taking Italy. Do you know how much they would love to upset Italy? They see what everyone's saying. Yeah. They're going to go out, and they're going to play the game of their life.
They got no pressure on them. Baz, what do you think about? Again, you're obviously uncomfortable about the game, but what are your thoughts going into it?
Yeah,
just 3 days ahead.
I think it's going to come down to, honestly, it's going to be a 1-0 or a 2-0 game. I think my biggest concern is the fact that Chiesa is out, and throughout the Euros, we lean so heavily on him to provide offense for us. So you're going to need huge games out of guys like Insigne and guys like Immobile. I also think that I don't want him to start Jorginho and Verratti. I'd rather him go Barella, Locatelli, and Verratti, because that'll give us a little bit more offense. And again, I really think it's going to come down to offense for Italy, because I don't think that Macedonia will be able to get past us. And I know, like Frankie said, that's like the Italian, you know, kind of confidence coming in, or cockiness. But I think our defense is really solid. And I think Donnarumma coming in off that terrible loss with PSG is going to have something to prove. And show everybody that, hey, I know that game against PSG, I screwed the pooch there. I messed up on that first goal and they ended up beating us, but I'm still an incredible goalie. Because you can't discredit what he did at the Euros.
No,
but again, like a lot of sports fans are, it's not what have you done for me, it's what have you done for me lately. And lately, yeah. Donnarumma has not been great. So I think he's going to have a big performance. And I think that's going to be an X factor in the game. Because he has such a way just to change momentum in games by making the big saves. And he's so expressive and such an energetic person. He kind of reminds me of Buffon in that way, that he gets up and he is just, you can see all the passione, you know? and so, yeah. But I think Italy, the biggest concern for us is going to be finding offense and finding someone to be that spark for us, because we don't have Chiesa. And again, I love that we leaned on him and we were able to rely on him that much at the Euros, because it talks to what a class player he is. But
yeah,
it sucks when they're injured, because then who are we going to lean on, right? It's going to be
exactly
the old guy in CJ. Going to see if, you know, before he comes to the MLS, he gives one last little spark and then he's off to retire, come get his money in Toronto. So
exactly.
It's going to be a nerve-wracking game, but I'm saying it's going to be like a 1-0 or 2-0 game. I don't see a lot of goals.
100%.
Because Italy, if we get one early, you already know it's seven people in the back. Like not even a five at the back. One guy's pressing them.
They're going to pull Atletico Madrid and just go like a...
No, they're going to be worse than Atletico.
Like a 10, like a 9-1 formation.
If I can add one more thing just about Donnarumma.
Yeah, go ahead.
Talking about that, you know, that miserable PSG situation. Everything changes when you put on that national team jersey. And that goes for both sides. It goes for Macedonia and it goes for Italy. It doesn't matter what you've done at the club level, as soon as that national team jersey comes on, it all changes. It's a different game. The passion is just different when you're playing for your country. So I think that has to be taken into account.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you there. And I think that it's really key that they kind of carry over some momentum from that Euro win. I know it was quite a while ago, a few months ago, but they're still very important. A lot of the same guys are still showing up to this qualifier. And I'm looking at the squad list. And although We are going to miss Chiesa, who was brilliant all last year, even for Juve. There's a lot of talent on this team, right? And I don't want to rely on Bonucci and Chiellini forever, but in these kind of games, these one-off games, they still got it. They can still stretch it out, and they can still turn back the clock a little bit. You look at the midfield, Barella's back from injury. He's been called up. You got Jorginho, Locatelli, Pellegrini from Roma, who's having a fantastic season, Tonali, Verratti, very strong midfield. And then it kind of weakens out at the forwards, where we're seeing a lack of edge. And out of all these guys here, I love Insigne. I love Immobile. The only one I'm really scared of on the national stage would be Zaniolo. And that's very troubling, because where are these goals going to come from? Obviously, there's a lot of quality in the front line for Italy. There's a lot of options. But with that being said, you know, we never see Italy win games 3-4-0, right? It's always the 1 or 2-0 games. And like Baz was saying, just throw men behind the ball. This is a dangerous game also because North Macedonia has absolutely no pressure on them. Nothing is expected out of them out of this match. They're expected to lose, and that's it. So with that being said, Italy cannot get complacent. They have to play, like you were saying, Frankie, with some passion for the Azzurri, for that jersey, because it always seems when they come together, we don't always have the biggest names on Italy, right? We don't always have the biggest stars. But when they get together, they play as one of the best teams there. And they really need to do that right now, because with a team like North Macedonia, who ranks, I don't even know if they're in the top 100, to be completely honest with you, that things could get messy real quick. Is there anything else you guys want to say about that match?
The prayer reads didn't work in the Juve Villarreal match.
But... don't say it again, please. That really collapsed.
Just one thing about the forwards is I'm the most worried about the guys that are supposed to be our rocks up front in Immobile and Insigne to a lesser extent. Immobile disappears. Even when we won the Euros, he was absent that tournament. I actually believe, and I think that some of these young guys can see that there is like a position to be held. There's a big opportunity for them, and I think they should grab it by the horns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
it's a good point. Every goal Immobile scored at the Euros was coming at the end of like a 3-0 game. He'd be the third goal, or like as a 2-0 game, he's the second goal. He was never an important goal. He was never a deciding goal. He takes such, just terrible shots, not uninformed or uneducated. That's what I want to say. Just plain stupid shots. I was trying to avoid that word, but yeah, just
things you don't normally see at Lazio, where he's actually a very
prolific goal scorer. The thing for Lazio, like he's in the box, he'll cut, find open space and beautifully curl it around the goalie, and then he gets to Italy and he's got a chance to do the same thing, and now he's going to try and hit a knuckleball and he ends up shooting it right at the goal, and you're like, man, I saw you do the same thing at Lazio and you put it in the top corner, but now for some reason with the jersey you want to score only bangers, but it doesn't work like that. Like,
It's true. But another weird thing about that is that it's the opposite for Insigne, I find. I find lately he hasn't really done anything notable for Napoli. Mm-hmm. And then he shows up in the Euros and he's scoring beautiful goals.
Hey, I'll take that.
Class. I will take that too. That's what I'm saying. Show up. If somebody's not going to show up for the national team, somebody else has to fill those shoes. Yeah. But let's move on to Portugal versus Turkey. Mm-hmm. Portugal facing the tougher opposition. They had high hopes for Euro 2021, and they crashed and burned, going 0-3, I believe so. I think I placed a bet on Wales and Turkey. I just had a feeling they were going to implode. So I think here they have something to prove. This is not a bad team. Mm-hmm. This is a team that has Demiral, Soyuncu, Çalhanoğlu. These are good players. These are experienced players, believe it or not. They've been around a little bit. They've played for big teams. This is not going to be an easy test for Portugal. And in terms of Portugal's squad list, two really noticeable absences, one that just came out today. Firstly, we have Ruben Dias, who's been injured for about a week and a half for City. He's not included in this squad for both of the games if they obviously beat Turkey. Then today, Pepe tested positive for COVID-19. That's another center back down. So their defense is looking leaky like a faucet right now. But other than that, we have the usual guys. Ronaldo's in the lineup. Diogo Jota's in the lineup. Felix, Leao, Ruben Neves made it. Carvalho, Fernandes, Moutinho. And the defense, we still have João Cancelo, still have Nuno Mendes, still have Rafael Guerreiro. And of course, in the net is going to be Rui Patricio, goalie for Roma. Still a strong squad, but headed into Turkey, Portugal has the same kind of thing that Italy does, where they play down to their opponent's level. Frankie, Do you see them winning this game? Does Ronaldo go to the World Cup?
I think that's what this comes down to here, is that this is Cristiano Ronaldo we're talking about. And I'm going to preface by saying this. I'm a big Ronaldo fan, so this is going to come across as very supportive of Ronaldo. But I think he is the greatest player to ever grace the football pitch. And this is his last World Cup. And I just don't see, and this pains me to say as an Italian, I don't see a situation where, and I genuinely hope I'm not jinxing him. That's totally not what I'm going for right now. But I genuinely don't see Ronaldo missing his last World Cup. This is a guy who has carried the Portugal national team before for years. He's a tremendous player. And I just can't see him missing his last World Cup. I think he's going to go. And I think this could be, I think we could be getting the last truly iconic Cristiano Ronaldo moments in these next two games. But again, he is aging, and you've seen it at United and at Juventus. He does need some support from his midfield, and they have the talent there, but they have a lot of guys that disappear for the national team, similar to Immobile for Italy. Namely Bruno Fernandes, who's great for United, but struggles. Has been great for United, but struggles for Portugal. So I think Ronaldo's got to get that room just juiced up. And I think everyone knows the pressure on them, because Ronaldo isn't going to be blamed if they lose. It's going to be everyone else around them.
Yeah. It's very possible. Baz, do you think they'll beat Turkey? Like, really, do you think
it's going to be close? Ronaldo's going to have a team meeting in the cryo chamber before the game, really get the lads going. But no, I think one player that was like left out of the mentions too for Turkey is Yilmaz, Burak Yilmaz, because last year he was so integral in Lille's winning of the league. He had just goals upon goals for them. And for Turkey, the last few games that they have played and the losses that they had in the Euros, he managed to score goals. So he is someone who can manage to score goals. Like you said, Çalhanoğlu as well. I think he's someone who can have an X factor, because he's a very crafty player and an incredible set piece taker as well. So he can be very influential. Bruno has been really shaky, I think, for Man U recently. And if he takes that form into the game, I think Ronaldo and I think Portugal are kind of going to be SOL, because he's a very creative player, Bruno, and a lot of the midfield seems to go through them. Or through him, sorry, on Portugal. A lot of the creation seems to go up through him. And so if he's going to be shaky, who's going to be giving the ball to Ronaldo? That being said, you do have Bernardo Silva, who Man City have been playing absolutely incredibly. And Bernardo has been playing incredibly too, who I think he might have a big game. I think he might be a big, big X factor in the game. I'm going to call him my dark horse to score a goal. Get in there, and he's going to be the hero if Ronaldo can't do it. In terms of the center back issues as well, I think one positive of taking Danilo from PSG is that he can also play at center back if you need him. And I think you might see that, because, you're down Diaz and now you're down Pepe too. What are you going to do, right?
Has to happen. It has to happen at that point.
And if you want, you can also always just start Ruben Neves as well for a little bit of extra security and defense. That'll take away a little bit from your offense, but you'll know you'll have that extra security if you have like a wing back out of position at center back, or another just two CDMs at center back.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of potential with this squad. It's overall a very, very good squad. But the problem is like, there's two things. There's one, it's just for things like this, you always want the stars to align for your team. You always want to, like, there's no injuries heading into this qualifier. That's always a plus. And to have simultaneously within about a week, the knowledge that Ruben Diaz is not going to be there. And then today, literally randomly, I get a notification that Pepe's out now. That is a leaky defense. That's a lot like that. Those are two big players. And you can see, like, Pepe is old. Pepe's like 39 years old. He is slower, but he's a real leader. Yeah. Very, very experienced player.
Field general.
And Ruben, the general. He's like a Pepe, right? He's a game manager. He's seen it all. He's a master of the dark arts. And I just feel like, let alone, we already know what kind of player Ruben Diaz is. I don't like this. I think that, if they get through Turkey with Danilo Pereira, who, like you said, I think he's going to have to play center back. It's not about the option. He has to. Like, there's nobody else there. So I think if they get through Turkey, do you really see a pair of Danilo and then Jose Font stopping the likes of if it's Italy, like stopping the likes of Immobile or Insigne or João Pedro now, who got, like, it's not lining up right. However, Portugal has a lot of X factors on their team. Bernardo Silva has to have one of the biggest games of his life. He does. He's the engine of that Portugal team every time they play. He is all over the field. He plays free roam the same way he plays at City. And then he's always there. And obviously, we know at this stage, Ronaldo is going to show up. If he's not scoring, he'll be doing everything else. And I think you hit the nail right in the head when you said that Bruno doesn't show up for the national team. He has been playing this season so much worse than he was last season. And I understand that last season he broke a lot of EPL records, broke Frank Lampard's record as a goal-scoring midfielder. But you also played bad at Euro 2021. Now you played bad all season. Early Champions League exit. You played bad in that game as well. You got subbed off, in fact. And now we're heading into an international break where he hasn't had any good qualifying performances, to my recollection. And it's just like, you got to show up. You got to facilitate. And you have to play as a team. And on top of that, the coach, there's another issue. The coach is playing the same style of soccer or football that we played in 2016 with a very defensive team. That was a way less skilled team. And he's playing the same defensive, slow style when you got all these hitmen up front that can pop in goals from literally anywhere. So I think they'll win against Turkey. I hope they'll win against Turkey. But if they don't fix that center back problem soon, things could go dark very, very quickly. That's how I feel. I'm very nervous for both sides. Like,
I can get Italian, though, you completely shafted. I'm kind of okay with it. I'm not gonna lie.
Of course, no. Like, listen. I wanted them to be in separate brackets so they could each go through, and I can have two teams to cheer for. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
They even got to play each other to get
through. It's shocking. I don't know how the hell it happened. It's criminal. It's criminal. Why are two top 10 teams in the same bracket? Why is nobody talking?
I still
about
don't know
this?
Why the team that wins the Euro doesn't get automatic qualification.
That's another thing that should have been a thing for a long time. Yeah, it's completely fair. Again,
because everyone, it's kind of consensus agreed that the European, like the Euros, are the hardest championship to win.
Yeah,
and if European teams are constantly like the highest ranked ones, it would make sense that whoever wins the Euro championship, it's like it's another incentive to win it, because you stamp your ticket to the World Cup right then and there.
No qualifiers, none of this BS, and obviously. But again, it's like, this is what it is. And it's just like, every passing day closer to Thursday, like, my anxiety just starts rising, and it's ridiculous. It heightens, and it's going to peak, man. It's peaking on Thursday. I'm locking myself in this room. I'm not leaving. Like, it's bad. But moving on from international soccer, obviously we have three Juve fans here in the panel. And the news came out today that Paulo Dybala will not be re-signing and renewing his contract with Juve. Apparently, he was not a part of the future plans or the new project. It feels like there's been 1,000 projects in the last 5 years. He was the center of it this season, or the start of this season, and now he's not included in it. Doesn't make any sense. How do we feel? Like, because I'll lay out the terms for you before we give our opinion.
Yeah.
He wanted 12 million euros. That was the reported, that's what he wanted, his asking price. We wouldn't give him any higher than 10. Are we agreeing with that, or should we give him the money? Should we give him the money, or should we just let him go?
I think we should give him the money. I personally think he's been injured a little bit this year, and he was injured a little bit last season, but he's proven before Ronaldo was there, and even sometimes when Ronaldo was there as well, that he is dependable in big moments. One of the moments I think I'll never forget is that game against Lazio in the 90th minute. He's falling down in the box and still manages to get that shot off, cross crease, top corner, and that basically secured us the league. Like, he is, talk about a diamond, right? Talk about someone who's good under pressure. That's why he's the diamond, because he is good in pressure. And I've only seen him getting better. This year, I think some of the flicks that he does and like the technique that he has, it's so like joyful and looks like it's like he's just having fun out there and just throwing in skills. And I think I've seen him meg more people in the past 5 games that I've watched from him this year than I did in the whole last 2 seasons. So it looks like he's having a lot of fun out there. And I don't get why. I know he's small, he's a little bit undersized, but he started off his career as a center forward at Palermo. Why do we not play him where Morata is? Play him and Vlahovic beside each other, because then you've got Vlahovic, clinical finisher, maybe not as fast as him, but something you call a big, strong striker, a target man striker. And then you got a little quick, rapid guy who's fast with his feet, good with his feet, can dribble really well and shown he can finish from anywhere. I don't get it. It makes no sense to me why they continue to just throw Alvaro Morata out there and let him do terrible and let him be offside every play. It's not that, like, it's so frustrating to watch him play. Sorry to go off Dybala here and go on to Morata, but this guy literally, he spends more time offside than he spends onside. And it's so frustrating because that breaks down the rest of the game for Juve. It doesn't just affect him being offside. It affects the whole flow of the game because then balls can't go through. Guys can't go into space. Guys can't push places because they know, oh, Alvaro's offside out there. If I push that way, we're just going to get it offside to him. And it's just, it befuddles me that they haven't tried once. Let's just try Dybala at striker again. He started off his career as a center forward. And let's get him back to that. Let's get him back to his roots. See if he can score again. Makes no sense to me. So I think he's worth the 12 million, 100% worth it. We should have paid it.
Yep. Frankie.
Look, I love Dybala. However, if Juve said, you know what, we're not going to re-sign him, and I had faith that there were competent men running Juventus, and they said, we are going to put this money and we are going to get this guy, I'd be like, you know what? That's fair. I believe in you. I have zero faith. And Juve has a track record, and Ben has brought this up, I think, like the last five times I've seen him when he's been ranting about Juve. Where did the extra money that we got from the whole Cancelo swap go?
Into Agnelli's pockets.
Where did that money go? So
pockets, bro.
Like, Juve has this tendency to say, you know what, we're going to get this money and we're going to do that, and they never end up doing anything with it. So that's a disaster. So I think, give him the money. If you don't have a competent backup plan, and that's what happens when you go through three managers in 3 years, you have no plan, no vision for your team. As a fan that has zero faith in their front office, They should just pay him, because you know you're getting a very, very good player. They have no plan for the team, so I don't trust them to do anything good with the money that you'd be saving from getting rid of them.
Yeah.
You hit it right on.
Like, what are these future plans? I wish they just say what the future plans were, so we could just roast them fully for what they are, instead of having to wait a year to roast them for spending their money like idiots.
That's what it is. It's no, there is never a future plan with Juve. There's never, their future plan was not, it was something else, and we were getting excited about it because we thought somebody really cool was going to come into the club, like Zidane or like a new foreign manager. But like they always do, they went back to that traditional Italian conservative decision. One who's already been at the club for a numerous amount of years, Allegri.
Yeah.
And then now we're hearing about Dybala's not re-signing for a future project. And I'm telling you right now, we'll go into next season, and the future project will be nothing. It will be absolutely nothing. The fact that they were arguing over 2 million euros a week or in the contract between 12 and 10, it shows how embarrassing of a club Juve really are right now. Because a guy like Paulo Dybala, who has just an endless list of iconic moments in the black and white, with goals against Barcelona to take us all the way in that Champions League final run in 2017, with goals like Lazio, with the amazing season he had like 2 years ago with Ronaldo and Saudi, and that duo was unbelievable, with the great start to the season this year where everything was on him. He's captained the team. He's shown he can be a leader. He is... When you boil Paulo Dybala down and you take away the injuries, because he's a bit injury-prone, he is one of the most skilled players in the game. He is one of the most technical players in the game. He's got one of the best left foots in the game. The overall situation is he's one of the best players in Italian football, let alone world football.
He's a game changer.
He's a game changer. He is a complete game changer. So why won't you give a game changer two extra million? Why are you being stiff on this? And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, when, I don't know, Rabiot or Morata wants to, I need this extra 2 million from 5 to 7, they'll give it to him. That is exactly what will happen. Or
if we re-sign Rabiot?
No, you just wait. Technically right now, Juve have Morata on loan. And that option to buy,
I forgot. That's that an obligation. Option
is 60 million. You want to bet that they'll buy him for 60 mil again? They'll rebuy him after selling him for less.
They better not extend his term. They better not buy him back for 60 mil. Man, that'll be one of the worst decisions in club history.
They buy him from Madrid. They sell him for less.
Yeah.
And then they're going to buy him back for even more.
In defense of Juve, just to clarify, yeah. They did get a little gypped when they originally sold Morata because they had a buyback clause in his contract, correct? Where they got completely, I think they sold him for like 30 mil or something ridiculous.
Good. They got gypped. He's a terrible player. Why would they even want him there? I would be glad to get absolutely shafted in a deal that involved him. Get him out. I don't care if I'm losing money. But again, this is just like, it's little things like this that they give you hints of what's to come, especially with Juve. Mm. And what I've noticed over the last few years is whenever they say this little thing, like to get you excited, he's not part of the new project. Okay, then go out and find a player better than Paulo Dybala and bring him to the frickin' club. Mm-hmm. And let me see what you can do with that money. Or else it's all for nothing and we're going to have the same process for the next 10 years, exiting at the round of 16. It's infuriating. Again, I agree with you, Baz. I would give him 13 million if he asked me.
Yeah.
I would cap it off at 14. That's a bit much. You're too injured all the time. But I would still give him 14 million.
Yeah.
Why are we discussing that? Like, why are you, oh, so cheap?
Yeah.
What a cheapskate that is.
We're pinching pennies now.
Pinching pennies for what? For whom?
For Alvaro Morata and Adrian Rabiot.
That's what I'm saying. That my prediction for Juve next year is that we'll get no big signing.
Yeah, no.
It'll be a little midfielder out of like Monaco or something like that. And it'll be like the next big thing. The next big guy. Next big Pogba.
What happened to flop. Kyle Jorge? I don't even think I've seen him play once.
The Kyle George?
Yeah.
He's on loan now. They loaned him out.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's what I mean. But I didn't see him play one time.
Like, oh no, he didn't
him
play.
And made a big thing about him. And we had him on our bench for like a year. Yeah. And then now we loan him out. Like it makes no sense.
No, they didn't play him. They play Morata ahead of him. They play Morata ahead of the most one of the most touted Brazilian prospects of like that about a year ago. He was a really good player. Yeah. He is a really good player. Super skilled. He is more skilled at 21 or 20 or 19, whatever the hell he is, than Morata has been his entire career.
Yep.
And we do hate on Morata a lot. He has had good
moments.
This is an
anti-Morata podcast, Frank.
You better get on that.
Yeah, honestly.
He's had good moments. He has.
Yeah.
However, he is a load of shite. He is not a good player.
Hey, even a broken clock is right twice a day.
When is he right?
That's what Morata. I mean. He has some moments twice a day.
Oh, I guess true. Yeah.
Even a broken clock is right twice a day.
I mean, does the clock also time travel back to 2017? Is that a possibility? Because I haven't seen him do one thing.
I mean, if he,
yeah, I just, fair. I don't like him. I don't like him.
If you played Morata for what he actually is and you gave him a reasonable off the bench here and there, it would be fine. He's a competent player.
You bring him on to the
You don't play him higher. Just the same way you play Ronaldo and just throw him out there and expect you. Like, Allegri loves his guys, and I don't know why. Like, he refuses to adapt to, okay, you know what? This guy isn't working out. I'm going to go to this. He's not that good, and
he's too ride or die.
Yeah, and there's just no, like, like, you know, maybe if I was Allegri and Baz was Morata, okay. Like, I just let him play. But ultimately, I don't think they're that good of friends, and it's a little ridiculous just how much he just lets him play without any repercussions.
Yeah, I think one big thing for a team is you always need to have a little bit of competition. Like, that's what keeps guys on their toes. As someone who's played sports before where, like, what do you call it? Positions are limited. Like, it keeps you on your toes knowing that there's someone that's always on your back and that you know, at any time you could be subbed out, you could be taken out. So I think that the lack of diversity that Allegri allows in the squads is just it harms the team a lot more than it hurts it. Than it helps it. I agree with you a lot on that, Frankie. And with that, we are coming to a close of the episode. Frank the Tank, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, boys. It was great. Great to be here.
Always great to have you, too. Benjamin, any last thoughts?
Nah, you nailed it again. So I'm good for the day, to be honest. I'm mad about Morata. So.
All right, well, thank you to everybody for listening, and have a great night, guys.